Christ is risen. Yes, that's it. That's what makes us a people of God, is we believe this. However, when I think about that a little further, someone coming back from the dead, calling ourselves resurrection people, I mean, in honesty, we are absurd people. Resurrection is a wild concept. Has anyone seen somebody come back from the dead? Show of hands. Yeah. It's not a thing we're used to. I'm struck by that reality. But we are people of God who are supposed to be witnesses of the resurrection. But I read the reading. That happened a long time ago. I haven't seen many dead people walking around, coming back to life. It's not that miracles don't happen, but this is perhaps the most definitive one, and it's one of the hardest ones to wrap our heads around. I worked long enough as a hospital chaplain to know of that pointed pain, that when someone's gone, we no longer see them. There's no coming back from it, it feels like. This acute heartache we feel when someone dies. When we don't get to see them anymore, you hurt. And I know that Easter is this concept of life that comes after death, resurrection from the tomb, but in truth, it just doesn't always make sense with what we see as death being such a story of finality, a foregone conclusion. Now, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a very happy and joyful person typically. I'm not usually talking about death. In fact, I struggle with talking about it because I am that sort of gluttonous, happy individual. But it is a part of this story. Resurrection only happens to dead things. That's a reality that the disciples are dealing with very acutely in this story today. Especially the women who are coming to this tomb. They are dealing with that same pain, that same separation. Today's reading, we hear about the women coming to care for Jesus' body. Days before, Jesus was betrayed. He was handed over to authorities. He suffered torture and death. He was hung to die on a cross. While he was on Calvary, he was mocked. He was jeered. There was shouting, teasing. And it says he dies. They then pierce his side. Blood and water comes out of him. He's gone. He's gone. So they take his body down. They wrap him in the linen cloths with aloe, with all the spices accustomed to him, and they lay him in a tomb. He's buried. He's gone. And I think of these women then, after days of him spending time in this tomb, passed away, a body wrapped in linen cloth. The women are coming to this tomb to make sure the burial rituals were observed correctly, caring for this body. They know exactly what they're going to find when they get there. The same thing that was placed there 3 days ago. But not so fast, right? Nope. Wait, the stone's been rolled away. Something is not right. Maybe let's see if he's in there. So they go in there, and what's it say? He sees somebody, and they are understandably alarmed, because who wouldn't be alarmed when there's somebody just sitting there like. They went in there expecting to find a body, and now they see somebody there, confident, comfortable, robed in white, this individual, and they're thinking, I would imagine, grave robbery? No. He says, no. Don't be afraid. He's not here anymore. He's gone. He was risen from the dead. But you'll see him again in Galilee. Go see him in Galilee. You will see him. Folks, I know this is really like something we've heard before, probably. You guys have heard the story, yes? Right. He's not in there. But that's a really big deal if we think about it, and it's in any time. It's unique to all of human history. In fact, Flavius Josephus, he's a Roman historian, he wrote about these followers of the Jesus movement, of this Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, their teacher was executed, but his body is no longer there. It's missing. It's gone. His believers believe he was resurrected from the dead. In fact, there were some witnesses that claimed to have seen him. Folks, it's not a fairy tale. This is a historical account of they really believed this, that he was no longer there. They believed it so fully that they were willing to die for this. This became a hallmark of what they were as people of God, was they were believers of the risen Christ, that the one who was crucified is now alive again, that love was not defeated on that day of pain and suffering. No, something new happened. The story changed. I am so grateful it's not some fairy tale that we follow, but a real story that changed. Jesus had defeated death. We even say this at funerals, right? As you die, as you're drowned, as you suffer a death like his, you will certainly be in a resurrection like his. I love that then this resurrection is extended for Jesus to say to those who see him, this is for you, that life will win. See, if we think of resurrection as this sort of concept, an intellectual concept that we need to understand and believe the history that Jesus was raised from the dead. If all we had was just this story of Flavius Josephus even, of historians saying this took place, we don't know, then I think if all we had were that, we would be totally okay with doubting this completely. However, I don't think resurrection is reserved exclusively to the conceptual realm, to the historical realm. Alternatively, I think death as well is not just a death we experience in the literal way of someone passing away. Think about it. Have you ever experienced a death? More acutely, I'd say, have you experienced a story where the ending was certain? Have you ever suffered in the way to say, this is going to happen? I say this, my kids are right there in the front row. A little saying I say to them when they were little and they were doing something dangerous, I would say, this is going to end in tears. Right? You guys have said this, you see this happening, you can see it a mile away. You're like, oh, this is going to be bad. We've had those situations. Maybe it's a job loss where the hopes and dreams we had are gone. Or maybe it was a divorce. This relationship didn't go the way I thought. The pain was too great. This union was not honored. All the hopes are gone. What about diagnoses that we receive? Plans we have for the future that are changed in an instant. Hopes gone, dashed. More specifically, the loss of a loved one. Those stories, it seems, feels like I know the ending. I can see that, and it will end in tears. Y'all have experienced these kinds of stories. Pastor Lauren just talked about it as our kind of resurrection project. There are millions of women in the Central Plateau of Haiti who are looking at a story that's being told that is bound to have a terrible ending. They were born in Haiti, in poverty, and now they are in the midst of ultra-poverty, which is really based on the lottery of your birth, based on situations you're in. And ultra-poverty always makes these people nearly invisible because you have no food, no work, no education, no medical care. There's hungry children involved. You have a spouse who's passed away or run away, and you're alone. And the term they use is the shame spiral begins, which is the poverty spiral as well, which pulls you down even further. It separates you from community. You can become invisible. And in the end, the story, we know how it ends. We know what ultra poverty leads to. See, resurrection seems so unbelievable, but what if something happened? Something impossible changed the story. A story like the women in the Central Plateau, where the end that we expected isn't the end that has to be the end. What if there was a moment like the women coming to the tomb where we're able to say, not so fast. The tomb is empty. There's more story here to be told. This is the story that CLM seeks to tell. Shevin Levin Mio, it's called, hand in hand, a pathway to the better life. It offers literal resurrection story in the midst of a story that is certainly going to end in death. A new story for women in the Central Plateau who are living in that poverty. This year, Lauren said, we're going to raise funds for this organization. And the way this happens is they receive caseworkers. They dig their own latrines. These women make their own home. They're taught commerce. They're taught ways to pull themselves out of this spiral of shame and invisibility and be brought back into their community to tell more of their story. To say that death does not have the final say. That kind of resurrection isn't conceptual. That is an intellectual, that is a real life story where an inevitable ending has changed. The story is no longer about death. It's a story of life, opportunity, hope, and love. If you take anything from this time here, if you're visiting Good Shepherd, we're so happy you're here. Take this and come back and hear some more. Because folks, what happens here, the worst thing that can happen to you is the story here. The worst thing, we just heard a story about Jesus dying on a cross. If we take one thing from this, hear this, the worst thing that can happen to you is not the last thing. That is not the last thing to happen to you. That's what the empty tomb promises. Death has been defeated, even death on a cross. So brothers and sisters, as you leave this place, I am grateful that you hear this story, but more than hear it, I hope we leave this place having heard the story of death becoming a story of life and love winning. And I hope we don't just hear the story, I hope we live that story. Because the tomb is empty. The potential is limitless. Your story is not finished. Your story, no matter how old you are or the struggles you are facing, this is a community of believers that have heard a story where the ending has changed. We are ready to walk with you in whatever the future has to offer. But hear this loud and clear. This story does not end in tears. There may be tears along the way, but this story does not end that way because together, in light of the empty tomb, we know love and life will win. Amen.